Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining me for another episode of Discussions with Delia. I'm really happy to be here today. It's been a minute since I've hosted a show, and there's just so much to do, and it's not getting the attention or the prioritization that it deserves, and that's something I'm working on fixing. I was just telling Raymond that he ought to come back and host the show with me, because at least that kept me on point, because, I couldn't waste his time, so I would schedule the show. But it's good to be here, and there's so many interesting, exciting, concerning things happening in our world. There's what's going on in Britain, there's what's going on here with the stock exchange, there's what's happened in Orlando, there's what's happened in the House of Representatives, there's what's happened in our community here in Mount Vernon. We've had my brother's keeper, we've had lots of shootings, or some shootings. So we've just had a lot of things happening globally, nationally, and locally. And, I believe that all things are connected. So today I wanted us to kind of direct our attention to, an article in the August issue of Psychology Today. And I read it, and, I was moved to read more and to share. And so I thought it would be a good discussion to have. The article is called Breaking the Code of the Streets. And it says, what can science tell us about how to reduce youth violence? And I think that's a really good question, because when we think about it, right, that's what many of us, we're working on. We're working on trying to create a safer community for our young people. And I want to invite your participation in the show. You can do so by calling in on 619-639-4621. That's 619-639-4621. Yeah, so there are so many things happening, right? And our young people deserve to feel safe. They deserve to have better lives, better outcomes than we've had. But tragically, that's not the state we're in, at least not for the majority of our youth. And so this article looks at a community in Chicago. They say it's on the far south side of Chicago, and it's called the Altgeld Gardens Public Housing Project. And it's, it's not close to the elegant city center of It's not close to the elegant city center, in Chicago's the Magic Mile. But it's an urban area within Chicago, and the article describes what it's like. I'll just paint a picture for it. It says, built on top of a landfill in 1945, the 198-acre complex of mostly two-story brick buildings, originally housed African-American World War II veterans. So, this place has a long history. But it's run down. It's old and it's run down. And so, it has its fair share of violence, like many urban communities. And so, The neighborhood struggles, they say, with the same high rates of crime and gun violence that plague other parts of Chicago. But what's happened in this area is that, a school-based initiative called Becoming a Man was developed in the early 2000s by an agency called Youth Guidance. And in this program, students participate in a weekly hour-long sessions that combine traditional group therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy, mentoring, and academic coaching. And they do this under six core principles, right? Integrity, accountability, positive expression of anger, self-determination, respect for women, and visionary goal setting. So this program, was started with the aim of trying to reduce the violence and increase outcome, because like many urban cities, this Altel Garden had like more than 50% of their students, or about 50% of their students, failing, dropping out of school, not going on to college. But this program was started based on those using mentoring, cognitive behavioral, group therapy, and it has had remarkable results. And, I mean, that's what caught my eye. I'm like, okay, because that's what we want to see. We have plenty of programs and programming here, say, in Mount Vernon. We're just not seeing the remarkable results. And so I thought, well, what are they doing different? And it's worth a discussion. It's worth reviewing. So it says the program has shown impressive results. The University of Chicago Crime Lab, a research organization devoted to generating rigorous evidence about effective ways to reduce violence, began conducting large-scale randomized controlled trials of Becoming a Man in 2009. So for 7 years now, they've been evaluating this program. The study included thousands of Black and Hispanic Chicago boys with an average age of 15, and up to a third of them had previously been arrested. So, not unlike the demographics for many of our communities, right? So if you did that in Mount Vernon, it would probably be about the same thing, like a large number of our young men have previously been arrested. What the evaluation showed, however, that the program reduced overall arrests by 30 to 35%, reduced violent crime arrests by up to 50%, and significantly increased high school graduation rates. And it's also cheap to operate. You know, I was looking at a program recently where, it's $1,000, I think it was $1,000 per student for this program, but they couldn't point to any kind of data that suggests that, how this $1,000 was effective in reducing violence in our community. And we know that there are lots of interventions, lots of things are being done every day in all these communities to try to reduce violence in these young people. So we can talk about some of them. Because a lot of them, in our communities, a lot of them offer mentoring, tutoring, academic, vocational training, after-school work, after-school programming, to kind of help students improve. But what the article points out, and I neglected to mention who wrote the article. The article is written by Dwyer Gunn. So Dwyer Gunn wrote this article. And what it pointed out is that, when you look at some of the evidence, U.S. Department of Education, What Works Clearinghouse, and the programs they reviewed to prevent dropouts and promote school completion, only a couple of these programs have shown positive signs. Same thing when you look at violence prevention programs. There've just not been a lot of success stories. And the thing about it is that I cannot speak authoritatively, conclusively, cogently to what is being done here in our community and if it's working, because I have not seen any of the evidence presented, right? That's what we need to see. And I think that's what's hopeful about My Brother's Keeper in our community, is that we hopefully it will give us an opportunity to evaluate some of these programs and really look at what's happening. But I'll just, for the sake of information, tell you that the U.S. Department of Education has a What Works Clearinghouse, right? What Works Clearinghouse, and that they look at programming. I have not looked at any of the programs yet, but I plan to over the next day or so. So not many success stories for adolescent programming. That's why it's remarkable, Dwyer Gunn writes, that we see these big declines in crime and increase in school engagement with this program called Becoming a Man. And the outcomes are significant. So why is it working? Right? What's so different about this program? Let's look at it. They start with a good PIES checkup, right? So PIES has to do with physical, intellectual, emotional, and spiritual status. So the PIES status asks, let's check in and look at the physical, the intellectual, the emotional, and the spiritual status of the young people who are participating in this program. So you catch up with the students, right? So I'm kind of laying out how this program works. So you catch up with the students, not just in school, not just what's bothering them in school, but what's bothering them at home. And you gauge what their current problem is. But unlike most programs, which was an interesting fact as well, where the therapist or the facilitator just kind of operates externally on the outside, not sharing or getting engaged. In this program, the facilitator, the therapist, checks in as well and shares about their own struggles and shares about what's going on with them. And I think that encourages students to share themselves, right? And the article talks about this one young man that when it was his turn to share, he said, that he'd been accepted to 5 colleges. I never thought I'd go to college, he said with disbelief. I was so proud of myself that I wanted to cry, but I didn't want to cry in front of my girl. The therapist asked, did you find the space and time to cry? He said, yeah, I did. You know, and so children are encouraged, the boys, the young men are encouraged to share what's going on with them. And I can see where that level of engagement, where that level of concern, that it's a safe place to express what's going on with you. There's no judgment, and you get positive feedback. So, you know, this, I think, is helpful for the students. It's impossible to understand the eclectic combination of methods that make up the program without considering its founder. So a little bit about the founder. Tony Ramirez Di Vittorio, a tattooed Hispanic American who was born and raised on Chicago's Southwest Side. He witnessed his parents' divorce when he was 11. It plunged the family into poverty and destroyed his already tenuous connection with his father. Eventually, he graduated from college, earned a master's degree in psychology, and was hired in 1999 by this youth guidance program, right? He considers himself surrounded by kids who were essentially younger versions of himself. He pioneered the program that would grow into Becoming a Man, drawing on factors that had personally helped him overcome the challenges of being poor and fatherless. Critical to that journey was his martial arts instructor, a tough and caring male mentor who convinced Ramirez Di Vittorio, when he was in his early 20s, to get his life together and take his studies seriously. It was the first time in my life I had fathering, Ramirez wrote. I had mothering, but I'd never had a man give me affirmations or tough love or building me up. Becoming a man counselor fulfilled that role for their students, alternatively challenging the boys to do better in school and in their relationships and supporting them as they navigate turbulent home lives. So, you know, one of the things that I've always said is that having every child, every young person connected to a responsible adult is really important. I always think about my brother's keeper, and I'll tell you, I had to read to the end of this article to realize that, you know, everything comes full circle. So becoming a man counselor fulfilled that role for their students, challenging the boys to do better in school and in their relationships and supporting them as they navigate turbulent home lives. The bureaucracy of high school and the pressures of test preparation and college applications. They also provide traditional counseling, incorporating a heavy dose of what they call men's work, which draws on Romero's Defertorio's own experience in men's group, inspired by the ancient inspiration rites of tribal societies, a process that helps him examine his experience and construct a healthier sense of masculinity. And I just want to say here that one of the things that really has, you know, been present in our community here in Mount Vernon is that, for example, I can think Brother Bay and Jeff Monroe have always stressed that connection, that cultural connection, that, you know, the rites of passage and being connected to our own history and understanding that and it being critical for the development of our young people, especially our young men. Romero's Divitorio wrote, "I had to deal with my own trauma. I had to deal with the 11-year-old who saw violence in his house." Right? And so, you know, you see how this is so connected, that the work is really sometimes about trauma, because a lot of these things that you might not consider trauma or might not consider traumatic, maybe, and maybe holding people back and keeping one stuck in the past and unable to move forward and accomplish what you need to become, you know, the best version of yourself. So they talk about doing shadow work, you know, where you kind of face the shadow. The shadow is kind of like the outline of the trauma, the outline of what's keeping you stuck. So doing that work necessary to get past whatever the shadow is that's holding you back. So, you know, this is interesting. So this University of Chicago psychologist and one of the researchers says, imagine being a teenager in a movie theater goofing around with friends when someone bigger and tougher tells you to sit down and be quiet. Then imagine that you're hanging out with your friends in a classroom and the teacher tells you to sit down and be quiet. He writes, if you grew up in a safe neighborhood, then you probably treat both situations the same. You just sit down and be quiet. Importantly, though, you do it without thinking. You do it automatically. But in a tough neighborhood, kids quickly learn that if they back down every time someone on the street confronts them, they'll be attacked over and over again. So it's that trauma response, right, that triggered response. They have a lot of situations in which the adaptive automatic response is to be aggressive and stand up for themselves. Sometimes that actually is good for them, because the reality of the streets, unfortunately, is that if you don't do that, you get continually victimized. The downside, however, is that kids with an automatic impulse to counter aggression can lose the ability to slow down and distinguish between situations when the reaction is protective and when it can be negative. So not being able to distinguish when you need that aggressive response, right? And depending on how a child grows up and what experience that child has had, that young person has had, then it's difficult to distinguish. Then it's difficult to say. If someone bumps into you on the street, now the kid can say no for himself, right? So learning when to back away, to not respond aggressively. And when that responding aggressively could result in you being killed. becoming a man does not promote blind compliance. There's nothing in the curriculum that instructs students to obey a teacher, do homework, or instead play video games. In fact, one of the first things counselors affirm for students is that sometimes they might indeed need to fight. Well, you know, they're being realistic. But what it simply teaches boys is how to be more deliberate in their thinking. So a cognitive shift, they write, is you know, what is occurring. So starting to think first before you respond. You know, that's what cognitive behavioral therapy is. You recognize the connection between your thoughts, your feelings, and your behavior. And, you know, everybody can benefit from learning those skills. You know, it's really important. So, you know, I won't read the entire article. I think, you know, it says that people in high places are paying attention. Rahm Emanuel allocated $20 million to Becoming a Man in Chicago, which enabled the program to triple the number of participants to 2,000. And in 2014, President Barack Obama unveiled My Brother's Keeper, a national initiative to provide opportunities for young men and of color. It has prominently featured Becoming a Man and has allocated $6 million in federal funding to support its expansion and ongoing evaluation in Chicago alone. The program now serves 2,500 young people in 48 schools. So, you know, then it talks about what's happened for some of the young people. But, you know, breathing technique, and this is really about mindfulness. You know, you hear me talk about mindfulness all the time and the benefits of mindfulness, the benefits of just being able to pause and to think about what you want to do before you do it, to think about what's an appropriate response. You know, so, I mean, I'm really encouraged by this article, because it's a lot, it affirms a lot of the work that I do, even at the after-school program that I do on a, you know, once a week. You see, you know, that's what I do. I gather the young people and I say, you know, this group, and they'll tell you, now when a new member joins the group, you have some people that say, we talk about our feelings here. That's what we do. We talk, and it's safe to talk about our feelings. So more and more I'm getting the younger ones to understand that it really is okay to talk about your feelings, that you're entitled to your feelings, and, you know, that there is always a safe place, or to look for a safe place to share that. So, you know, it's really important when you look at the effect that this program, Becoming a Man, has had. And I'll give you one of the examples that they shared. This young person, Wakila Tigg, graduated from high school last spring with nearly all A's, and he's college-bound, intending to study journalism. He says, Becoming a Man helped him devise and execute the plan that led to his college's acceptance, and also with instilling him in a different vision of his future. He would like to mentor young men and eventually to have a family and be the kind of father who's around day in and day out. I've never woken up in the house with both my mom and dad, he says. I want my kids to have that. When he reflects on the cognitive and behavioral adjustments that have taken him thus far, he recalls one moment last year when he went to look for a book in his locker. A school security guard approached him to ask what he was doing there. A new school policy forbade students from being in the hall during class without a hall pass. A few years earlier, Atik says, he might have impulsively given the security guard a show of attitude, even though he was holding a hall pass in his hand. Instead, Atik took a careful breath and asked himself a question. What's the benefit of reacting like that? He handed over his hall pass, he got his book, and went back to class. So, you know, I think it's really encouraging what this program is accomplishing in Chicago. I'm hopeful that we will see evaluation of programs in Mount Vernon that result in the same thing, and that My Brother's Keeper will kind of encourage, you know, looking at what's working and implementing it with fidelity so that we can be sure that our young people are benefiting. So let's keep that conversation going. You know, like I said, you know, the My Brother's Keeper program has been launched. We continue to work, and we're hopeful because we just cannot stop. You know, think about what works for these people. It says, becoming a man doesn't distinguish any behavior as good or bad. It simply focuses on being more deliberate in one's thinking. So let's just all try to teach that skill to somebody, to say, take a breath and let's think about it. Until next time, be well.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Discussions with Delia. Please follow me on Twitter at Discussions Delia or like our Facebook page, Delia Positively Speaking. See you next week. Peace and blessings.